Well, if you have not got yet, I'm not here to make any market. But I was told to remind you again by my Lord. There's several good books on the back there. We don't make profit. You pay cost price because we want you to dive into the Word of God. One of the very good books on the back, Time to Defeat the Devil. It's $24.99 everywhere else. We are selling for cost price, $13. For those of you who are married or planning to get married, 6 lies the devil uses to destroy marriage. This is only $2.
What?
Yep. 6 lies the devil uses to destroy marriage. What are they? You want me to read it for you? I'll read it. Thanks for asking. 6 lies the devil will use to destroy marriage. Lie number 1. God's word does not provide healing for marriage. Lie number 1 from the devil. God's word will heal marriage. Lie number 2. You need to start all over. New partner, new marriage. Lie number 3. You married out of God's will. And I hear that so often. Lie number 4. You've been hurt too much to love again. Lie number 5. Your marriage has to end in case of adultery. Not really. It's another lie from the pits of hell. Here comes another lie from Satan. Last one. My mate is a sinful unbeliever who will never change, so our marriage could never be blessed by God. There's a 7th. Yeah. The daughter from Dodie. Joel. So it's only $2. We are not making profit, but it's such a good little book. You can read it in an hour, you know. Well, I'm not married. You better have one of them too, so you can start get yourself ready. Before you get married, give it to your spouse. Or spouse to be, so they can be on the same page. Now, Brother Harry, can you put up the Acts 16:31? You know that scripture out of memory. I know that. I know you are good people. You like to memorize God's word. I know you know that. But you know, there's something you need to remember here in that scripture. I'm going to read it in 3 translations so that you can get the message. Let's start with the New King James. So they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to happen?
And you will be saved.
Who else?
And your
I'm going to say it again. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. The question is, what does he mean by a household? All those that are blood related to you. 100%. That's actually what it means. Everybody who dwelled under your roof for a period of time that is blood related to you. Who does that include? Have you ever lived with your parents? Include your parents then. Have you ever lived with your children? Include your children. Have you ever lived with cousins? They were in your house for a period of time? Sisters, brothers? It includes them. They are your household. Now, I think that the greatest trap for God's people when they come to this scripture is because sometimes we act so dumb. One day we were taken to church, and then there was a nice choir that had 100 people singing Amazing Grace, or Just As I Am, I swiftly come, and we are expecting to see the same thing. No, it don't work like this because we are different people. You know that? Your own hands don't have the same fingerprint. This is why when you go fingerprinted, they go each finger, because not even your own hand, the fingerprints are the same. People are different. So you came with just as I am. Praise God. Maybe that family of you will have to come with a bullet, huh? On their intestine. And then it's, Lord, I'm here, please. I don't want to die. Give me one more chance. But they will come. They will come. Because the promise is very clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It goes on, you, make sure that you understand, it starts on you and your household. Does that mean that you're going to accept Jesus and then nobody in your house has to accept Jesus? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that you open the way. Now there is light on your house. Now there's an intercessor in your house. But I've been praying, they don't come. It doesn't matter. God's not giving you a timetable here. You know, my mother, I prayed for my mother for 27 years, every day without missing one day. As a mother, you don't have a choice. You are a hooked fish. You can spin and spin and spin. You're going to come in because you don't have a choice. My God promised to me that you will come, and you will. Mother came in. Younger sister came in, her children. Second sister came in and passed away a few years later. Third sister came in, now she's shaking, said, you better watch out before a tractor trailer hits you and then bring you back in pieces, but you will come. My goodness, what kind of talk is this, man? I said, well, you're playing with fire. Did you know people who play with fire get burned? And my brother, he's the tough guy. I said, boy, I tell you, I wish I would be around with a camera to just film the day that he's going to get a hold of you. Never! He's a Jewish man. Nonsense. Guess what? He got drunk last time I was on, and he came on glories. So now you gotta say it, you know, with a passion. And then later he said, I don't mean that. You're rehearsing. You're rehearsing. So when you come in, you already know to say, oh, glories. You know what I'm talking about? So, folks, we can't allow the devil to wipe out our joy because we are worried about family. Are we together on this? I don't want you to get out from this. Man, this guy is so rushed. He's harsh. I mean, that's not the way to talk to people, to family. Oh, no, it's the way that you've been talking, then you're about to die. Because somebody talked nice to you, and you worried, and you're concerned. Get a life. You can't make a decision for other people. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you ought to do. Believe in him as your Savior. Believe that he will do what he says he will. What he will do, he will save you and your household. Now, give me the New Living Translation here. Let's make it more messed up for them. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. Along? Does it make sense to anybody here? You want to see how more messed up it gets? Watch this. Let's go to the Message Bible here. Watch this. They say, put your entire trust in the Master Jesus. Then you will live as you were meant to live. And everyone, what is the last word?
Included.
Reach out to somebody and say, your household is included in God's salvation plan. Did you get that out of? Did we get that out of the way? Are we together here? Good. Now let me start preaching. You mean to tell me you ain't preaching? No, I'm not. I'm going to start preaching right now. What is the title of your preaching, preacher? When forgiveness is a hindrance. Recently in our dinners, my wife and I went to the hospital to visit people. And we had the the sadness to see somebody actually die, but would not forgive. One of the sermons I've been preaching, somebody put on the internet, and I got a nasty email from somebody. How dare you tell me that God is going to keep me out of heaven because I didn't forgive my sister-in-law? You don't know what she did to me. So I replied back, get mad at God. It's on the word. Jesus said, if you won't forgive man his trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive yours. And if you are not forgiven by God, you ain't going to make it to heaven. Folks, by the way, Brother Harry, can you give me Ephesians 1, 5 to 7? Folks, think with me about this. You may forget everything that I will say today, but I want you to remember this. Throughout your entire life, you and I have heard about the wonders of heaven. Amen? We have heard how nice heaven is. Isn't that right? A place of joy. Isn't that right? Everything is good. No pain, no sorrow, no evil. Is that right? Is that what y'all have heard here in America? Okay. Let's say now that your sister-in-law or your brother-in-law really messed you up and they really hurted you. Or maybe even your ex. But you didn't have enough understanding, you divorced that person. And then throughout your life, you have been walking along and walking on with a disease in your body, not knowing that that disease is and could very well be a result of unforgiveness. Follow me here right now. And every time that you remember that argument or that instance, that incident, your heart gets grieved. Are you all following me so far? Let's now say that God would take you to heaven with this unforgiveness. How about you lived all your life, carried all the pain and all the cancers and all the disease, and gave half of what you had to the pharmaceutical companies because of that unforgiveness, and you lived in pain all your life, you made to heaven, and right after, 3 months after you arrived to heaven, here comes your sister-in-law. Let's assume that God would allow you to get to heaven with unforgiveness. And then you get to heaven now to look at that very sister-in-law, brother-in-law that has hurt you all your life. And now it's not going to be for 80 years. It's going to be for trillion, gazillions, whatever years you want to call it. Throughout eternity, looking at that punk that hurt me so much. Can you see how nice heaven will be? That's a life from the pits of hell. Heaven is a good place. It's a wonderful place. And people who cannot forgive will never make it to heaven. I don't want to have a neighbor next to my house that is mad at his mother-in-law, and every day time he sees his mother-in-law, he feels like beating her up and cussing her up. Hey, that's gone. This is heaven. You're in the wrong place. This is what God says for you and I about this whole forgiveness thing. Let's read it together. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have When you come to Jesus Christ, there are few things that you're supposed to know. And this is how you know if you are truly saved. Maybe you're going to be upset with me, but please, get over it. Just listen to what I'm saying here. Here are a few things that's supposed to be manifested on those who are accepted in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. You will know that you've been redeemed from your sins through the blood of Jesus. Is Is anybody listening to me here? And if you are redeemed through the blood of Jesus, unforgiveness is a thing of the past. Did you get that? Imagine you don't understand. You don't know what they did to me. You need to be saved. Excuse me? You need to be saved. When you are accepted in the beloved, your life supposed to be a good pleasure in God's will. Your life supposed to be a praise of His glory and of His grace. How in the world are you going to be a praise to God when you're mad at somebody in your family, at your boss, or somebody that did you this, that, and the other? Are you with me here? Very simple. When you come to Christ, you will know that you know that you know that you have been redeemed. You have been bought back through the blood of Jesus. You will also know that you have been forgiven of all your sins. Does that give me the right to go on sinning again, not forgiving people? Absolutely not. Actually, a proof that you are forgiven is that you will not be willing to continue to sin. That's a very proof that things are different in your life right now. You know what? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's start with the New King James. Unforgiveness, beloved, should not be part of your menu. This is something that shouldn't be in your dictionary. That's a word that shouldn't be in your vocabulary. Just like Muslims don't have the word forgiveness on the Quran, the whole entire Quran, not one time the word forgiveness is shown in there. The whole Quran, there isn't the word forgiveness. I spoke to a devout Muslim who prays three times a day and read the Quran three times a day. I said, which scripture in the Quran speaks about forgiveness? He said, we don't have one. I said, how in the world couldn't you have? We don't have one. So what about when people, you have an enemy, say, kill them. I said, what? I said, yeah, kill them. No forgiveness. No forgiveness. So you mean to tell me that if your daughter would go out and mess up and get pregnant, we kill her? You want daughters? Yes. But you know what? We are not Muslims. We have been bought and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what happened? What about the old stuff? So then? If you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new fella. All that old stinking stuff from before passed away. Something new takes place in the place of the old life. So it's very easy for people to say, oh, brother, I want to receive Jesus, blah, 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 blah. Especially when they are looking for a free ride. They will come and they mimic that they receive Jesus. Here's how you know. If a day or two or three or four, a week later, that person is still the same way they was before, they take an advantage of you. There was a guy in North Avenue. I used to have a business in North Avenue. When he had nobody else to steal from, and he needed the booze, he would come, hallelujah, preacher. Praise the Lord. I said, keep going. Hold on, man, you're a preacher. Ain't you? I said, no, I'm not. Right now, I'm a businessman. You're a Christian businessman, ain't you? No, I'm not. Come on, preacher. I can wash a car. You give me $5. I said, I do not feed booze mode, dude. Go to Mr. O'Malley and ask him. Back then, O'Malley was the mayor. Let me give you the phone number from social work. I need no telephone number. I need a $10 message. It was $5, now it's $10. By the time you finish, you want $100. You with me so far, right? Guy go down the street, try to get somebody. Then he couldn't get the money, he'll come back. Preacher, what does it say in the book of John? I said, I don't know. You don't ask me what does it say. John. Yeah. That thing about the devil work broken or something? I have no idea. What kind of preacher is, man? I want to hear the word of God. I said, there's a church down the street. See the doors open? You can walk in and go talk to the preacher down there. You know, the way that you know if somebody really, really came to Christ, the old stuff is going to pass away. The old stuff is going to pass away. So this should be a thermometer to all of us. If before you came to Christ, you had difficulty forgiving people, and you came to Christ, and you still have difficulty forgiving people, something ain't right. Because once you come to Christ, the old stuff is taken away. Why? Because you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And when you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, that old junk passes away. Now, there's some legalistic preacher out there. So, well, not everybody is the same. You know, somebody got delivered right away. Somebody got delivered bit by bit. So then their Jesus is a different Jesus. Their Jesus do work by pieces. It ain't so powerful as mine. Because there's nothing impossible to God. There's no place in the Bible that says that you get saved bit by bit. That you get set free bit by bit. On the contrary, it says, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free piece by piece, right? You shall be free indeed. Well, but this person believes in God, but still smoking. That person didn't believe in God. It's a head knowledge. The desire to submit to the leadership of Christ was never there. They are trying to get something from somebody. Sometimes that guilty feeling, they went out and they messed up, you know, and that guilty feeling come, oh, I take Jesus my Savior, blah, 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 just to satisfy the guilt feeling, and then they go right back into the mess. So what you're saying, preacher, unforgiveness is a result of an old man's life. And if any one of us here ever suffered from this, and you came to Christ, and you still have problem forgiving your stepfather who molested you 35 years ago, you got a problem, a real problem. It's not the molestation. That's the minimum of your problem. Your problem is unforgiveness. When I was in heaven the first time, I told you all these things so many times. Before I left, Jesus pulled me and said, Paul, said, yes, sir. Wait a minute, he called me Paul. So I better pay attention. Yes, sir. What is unforgiveness? What is forgiveness? Well, you know, I guess when somebody does something against you, you forget it. Said, nope. Said, no. No. And I'm thinking, wow, what is forgiveness? What do you mean, no? Paul, what is forgiveness? The Lord, I thought that forgiveness is when somebody does something to you, you forgive them, and you forget. No. And then I'm thinking, my mind is racing. He asked me a third time, Paul. Yes, sir. What is forgiveness? Lord, I don't know. I thought I knew. So you teach me, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the ability to go on in life with the consequences of somebody else's mistake without being hurt. Never forgot that. Never forgot that. And you know what? From that point forth, when I came back from heaven, I had some things to do. I shouted out in a loud voice, Father, I forgive my punk stepfather for molesting me sexually from the time I was 2 until I was 7. And I want the devil to hear, my father is forgiven. And I hold no grudges against him. And you know what? Things start changing. Bam, 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 bam. It's just like my life started getting together again. Some people use that as an excuse to keep on sinning because, oh, I'm a victim. Poor thing. You may not even make it to heaven. Then you're going to really be a victim of yourself. Are we together so far? But preacher, you know, I don't know. I don't agree with you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're supposed to be a new person. The old stuff is supposed to be gone. So don't lose your healing, please. Don't lose heaven. Because somebody did something to you and you just can't let it go. You know something? Can you give me the New Living Translation, that scripture there? Watch this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become... Look to them and ask them, how are you, new person? The old life is gone. And? Ask your neighbor if they're enjoying their new life. You better believe I am. And your life just begun when you came to Christ. Now, you want to see crazy? Watch this. This is crazy. Give me the Message Bible there, brother. Now, we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah, ask your neighbor, have you got your fresh start? It's created anew. It's created new. The old life, a new life. Look at it. We are still on the same page, right? Now, here's the problem that we have. There's so many problems with unforgiveness. But here's the worst problem. When you do not forgive somebody, when you are holding a grudge against that person, the devil will have all of you as a puppet. Did you know that? Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's start on verse 23. Let's start with the King James. 2 Timothy 2:23. Watch this. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that we don't have strifers here, right? Amen? Nobody here is a strifer, right? Like to be fighting and strifing and cussing and fussing. Verse 4, 24, watch this. I'm going to go one by one. And the servant of the Lord listen to 25. In meekness, and that they may recover themselves out of this net of the devil. Are you with me here? When people are holding together to grudges, when people have that unforgiving spirit, they will always be fussing and cussing and fighting. The servant of God must not do that. When we are at that point in life, the Bible says here that they are held captive by the devil at his will. Are we together on the same page yet? So what you're saying, preacher? You are forgiven. Now you have a reason for living. Don't let the devil take away your blessing. Take away your miracle. Take away all that God has planned for you. Because Psalms 85:2 tells us that God has already forgiven his people and covered their sins. Let's read it. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. You want to see how nice it gets? Brother, put it in the New Living Translation. Watch this. You forgave the guilty of your people. Yes, you cover
all their sins.
If God has forgiven all the sins of his people, why are we still holding grudges? Why are we still holding unforgiveness? Are you with me here? Now, the Message Bible makes it a little crazy. You lifted the cloud of guilty and... Isn't that great? Now that you and I are a new creation in Christ Jesus, we're going to let it go from the grudges. Will you agree with me we're going to do that? That child that disappointed you, that husband, that wife, that were not there for you when you needed them, those parents that you hoped that they would have done better with you and they didn't, even when they loved one of your siblings more than they loved you, and that hurt you so much, it's time to let it go. Are we still together here? Why would I do that? Because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we don't want the devil to play with you at his will. I'm going to wrap up right now with Psalm 103:12. This is what God is expecting for you to do with your family members that has messed up with your life. Because of what they did, your life is a mess today. That's all right. This is what God is expecting from you. Psalms 103:12, and I'm wrapping up right now. How should you deal with your family members that has messed you up so much? And as far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us. You got the point? Forget about it. I thought you say that it's not forgetting. No, it's not. Forgiveness is the ability to go on with your life. Live a normal life with the consequences of somebody else's mistake without being hurt. Are we together? The New Living Translation makes it a little bit more interesting. Watch this. And he has removed our sins as far
as the east is from the west.
Stand on your feet. There are 7 of you here right now that needs to release forgiveness. 7 of you here needs to release forgiveness. Did everybody hear what I said?
Yeah.
I will not call you by your name, but I will lead all of you in a prayer right now. And if you're ready to take a new heights, you know, a new flight with God, this may be the beginning of your new life today. Pray with me, Father God. In the name of Jesus, you know exactly what is within my heart. In the name of Jesus, I am forgiven right now. I'm releasing right now all those folks that has wronged me, that has abused me physically, spiritually, emotionally, sexually, verbally. I'm releasing them. All of them. Dead or alive. I'm releasing them. And I'm letting it go. I will never again, Lord, grudge or complain against them. I am forgiving them as you have forgiven me. Devil, I put you on notice. You've got nothing on me. So back off. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord God. My Father. I am ready. To start enjoying. the life you had for me.
Planned before the foundation of the world.
I'm ready.
I know I am forgiven.
And I want to be the best that I can be.
To the glory and praises of my God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated. If you brought an offering for the Lord this morning, let's continue to worship Him with our tithes and offering.
Tomorrow night we'll be back together for another round. And then we wish that the prayers would continue. On Friday, we're going to have a funeral service right in here. Brother John Dursey, who was 84, passed away. And they don't have relatives. Everybody died. They are the only one alive. And now he died. She is the only one alive. My daughter, the secretary, is right now carrying her to the cemetery and getting things organized. So she wants the body to come here so we can have the viewing between 10 and 11:30. We're going to have a quick service. And after that, we're going to leave from here to the cemetery in Parkville. So if you are free, let's support this elderly folks. She's 84, 85 already. And they have been in a nursing home. They don't have families. They don't have friends. Don't have relatives. We are the only ones that they have. And she will come and have guest speakers or Sid Roth or that kind of stuff. So now that he's gone, she's alone. Let's keep them in prayer. And if you can make it at Friday, 10 o'clock. We're going to have a viewing from 10 o'clock until 11:30. Then a half an hour, 45 minutes, the most service. And then we are heading to the cemetery. Yesterday I buried Sister Serafina Dahlin, the oldest member of this congregation. Died at 94. So the Lord is ripping up the fruits that are mature, you know, that are ripe, ready to go. God is taking them home. So if you can make it on Friday, it will be great. Amen. Saturday at 9:30, the Women of God Fellowship will be back together in prayer. With sun, snow, or rain, we'll be here. The devil don't close the shop, neither do we. At 11 o'clock, we're going to have Shabbat school for the kids. And then, on Sunday morning, we will be back together. For those who are brave enough to be here, I'm going to have two coffee makers on the back. One will have coffee, the other one will have tea. And some donuts, some muffins, so we can have breakfast together. At 9 o'clock, we're going to be facing Jerusalem, interceding on behalf of our building project. Why we got to do that? Very simple. Next Wednesday, I have to write a $198,000 check. I got 40. Yes. Why yes? God is up to something. God is up to something. I have to give you a testimony, but stretch your hand towards this offering. Father, we bless your name for every dollar that came today, and we bless your name for your people's generosity, Lord. Bless them according to their generosity, so much so that they will have to open your bank accounts to spread out the wealth you're going to send their way. In Jesus' name, amen.